Hi everyone, thank you so much for being here today. I am really excited to jump back into our conversation about the High Priestess, and also connect with you all in the chat with our live launch of today's episode. I am obviously not live here with you all. I have been really trying to figure out the best way that I want to connect with you all each week, and I think a pre-recorded video is going to be the way to go, at least for the time being, as I'm in this stage of motherhood and making sure that I can be there for my kiddo. It's hard to stick to a schedule, so we are just going to be adaptable, is the plan. And so we had a conversation a few weeks ago about the High Priestess as we continued our dive into the major arcana. And I feel like that was a little bit rushed. I was a bit scatterbrained. I was trying to do it live, but I was hearing my kiddo in the other room. So I really want to take my time and talk about it with you guys. And whether this is a video that you're catching live, or maybe you're watching it because you just threw the High Priestess and you want to know more about the history of this card and the ways that you can interpret it, and also the quick ways that you can kind of lock her meaning into your memory so that the next time you throw her, there's no question, you know you have that concept and the questions that you should be raising when you throw this card right at your fingertips, right within the grasp of your memory. So that's the content I'm going to be talking about with the High Priestess card. I'm also going to end the video with a general reading for everyone. I love being able to connect with your energy this way, and I find that it can be a little helpful. I hope the lighting and everything's all right. I'm doing this in the middle of the night with my candles, so that's the vibe we're going for. Let me know if you like it. If it is too cozy and distracting and you're watching this in the middle of the day, let me know. I can try to do a daytime film recording of it. I'm curious what you guys think. If you are catching this video live when I am launching it, as I release my videos at Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, you are please welcome to leave a question in the chat. I will be providing readings. I'll be in the chat responding to you guys on my computer, and I can give you a free reading if you would like to leave a request there. And I'd love to connect with you all. And if you just want to say hi, you're more than welcome to join me there as well. If you are listening on 12radio.com and you would like to join me over at YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/@symbol. Life Journeys with Serena, and this will be the most recent video. You can click on it there and join us and say hi, or you can go to the Facebook chat that we have for 12radio, and it'll be the most recent banner that's posted on the forum there. So, and wherever you're coming from, go ahead and say hi. I'd love to hear from you. And without further ado, let's jump in. So I want to start with the story. I think it was this one, right? I want to start with the story of the High Priestess. So, in traditional, we're not talking about the Rider-Waite deck here. We're talking about the older tarot that exists from, as early as the 15th, 16th century. You'll see some of these images here are the older representations of the High Priestess. And you see on the far right of the screen, the French version of the High Priestess. This is La Papesse, which is the female pope. And so the story here is we have this incredible story about Pope Joan from the 9th century, 855, was a pope for 2 years. Now, this is highly disputed in between historians. It's something that is not widely agreed upon. And it is something that's been widely shut down by the Catholic Church since we don't have female popes. And so, but just for the sake of this context, because within the context of the world of Tarot, this happened. This is a part of our history. This is where the concept of the high priestess originated. And the story here is that she disguised herself as a man and was Pope disguised as a man for 2 years. And it wasn't revealed that she was a woman until she gave birth in the middle of a ceremony. And then, you know, there's a bit of controversy about how she died that day, either in childbirth or was stoned to death. And it is a, whether or not you believe this to be true, it, the story itself represents so much. There's controversy, but there's also high balance between what is traditionally seen as male power and male representation within religion and the divine feminine, this motherhood, this the incredible power that sits within natural female power. The fact that everything was revealed and then ended for her within the one day of giving birth and then passing away. It's terribly sad, but it's also very poetic in showing this balance, maybe not balance, but the veil between life and death, because she so represents this connection between this world here and the world beyond. And so I just wanted to show some of the more traditional, older representation of the High Priestess. You see that she's always sitting. She has some sort of crown, and she has a book, she's a book in all three of them. And I just wanted to point out all the similarities here, and then as keep in mind what you see here, and maybe I can come back to this again in a second. But now let's look at the Rider-White version. So as you all know, Rider-White Smith. I always flip them. But Rider-White Smith is the widely accepted representation of the tarot, and has so much symbolism represented within it. And so I want to, you'll see that there's a lot of similarities. What I noticed first here in thinking about the original ones is her crown, or the headpiece that she's wearing, that those moon symbols, we'll just go back real quick. It's the same as the one on the far right, the French card from the 16th century, which I love the connection there, and to the connection to La Papesse. Okay, but now let's dive into all of the things that you can pick apart just by looking at this card. So what I want to do in talking about the symbols here, because the way that you can analyze these symbols, you'll see a lot of these same symbols throughout the rest of the deck. So if you, while studying the Major Arcana, are understanding what these symbols represent, it can be so much easier for you to understand the Minor Arcana, the rest of the deck with all the four suits, as you continue to explore your journey with tarot. So the main thing I want to start with here is the pillars. You'll see you have a black and a white pillar on either side of her, and they're known to represent Solomon's temple. There's a lot of religious history context here, and you'll see B and J are marked on the pillars, and they can be thought to stand for Beelzebub and Yahweh, which is, I believe, demon and god, and then, or Boaz and Yakim, but they can also, that's the B and the J in that sense, but they can also just be seen, if you see the black and white aspect to it, as yin and yang. So there's balance here, there's good and evil, there's male and female, but the columns can also represent tradition. So think of the columns in front of a church, right? There's structure, there's tradition, there's community. So you think of, you know, when you think of a pillar, you think of something that's steadfast, right? So that's what that's when you see the pillars, there's balance, right? With yin and yang, male, female, good and evil. But there's also structure within that balance. So now let's look at the crown, which was the same crown as the La Papesse French card. The crown can be associated with the Egyptian goddess Isis. And I just love that we have both, we have so many cultures represented within this. It's not, it's really strictly Western culture. It's not strictly Christianity or Catholicism that we see here. The fact that we have different religions, different beliefs, different cultures represented here is something that I really love about the High Priestess. We can also see that we're seeing the phases of the moon in this crown, right? You'll see that you have two crescent moons and then a full moon, and that's what makes up the crown. And so with this, you see the full lunar cycle, and you also, which is so connected to just being a woman. We operate on a lunar cycle. We have our own cycle within a month-to-month basis, right? We don't operate on a 24-hour cycle like the sun. We operate on the lunar cycle throughout a month-long period. And it's also often the symbols of the crescent and the full moon are associated with maiden, mother, and crone, with this, the transition throughout that we go through as life, right? And the different phases that we can experience as women as we go through life. Okay, so that's the crown, one of my favorite parts of the High Priestess. The cross is very traditionally associated with Christianity, but this specific cross that is equal in all sides is also often used to represent the planet Earth. So there's that balance between Earth being grounded here, our current, this realm, everything tangible that we exist, that exists around us here, and the higher realm. Again, we have that balance there. Now, if you look at the bottom right of her cloak, kind of at the bottom right of the card, you'll see her robe and a crescent moon. Now, the robe turns into water. If you look right around where the crescent moon is here, it actually looks more like a little waterfall or a river than a cloak. And when water is, when we're talking about water within the context of tarot, it's always about feelings and emotions. It's about the subconscious and your intuition. It's not tangible, right? It's all very emotive. And when we have the connection to the moon at the feet of the High Priestess, there's a lot of mystery here, but because the moon often represents mystery. There's mystery in what you can't see, right, in what water symbolizes, but she's grounded within that. That's sitting at her feet. She's grounded in it, and she is that. Her robe turns into the water. She simply is very comfortable within this unknown, within what you can't see. And you also see that you have a vast ocean that is behind her veil. So that's what the blue represents. And you can kind of see it behind. You see the two pillars and then the veil of pomegranates behind her and palms. You can see, if you look past that, it isn't just clear blue behind. You can kind of see the water and then the sky behind it. So you see that she's also sitting in front of water, which we just have so much water represented here in it. That is extremely significant. And then let's take a look at the veil. So pomegranates and palms. It hides the ocean, right? There's blocking our view of the ocean, which means it's high. The way that it's commonly understood is this, the great unknown. There's great mystery and adventure within what we don't know, what we can't see, what's behind the veil. Before we get into the actual symbolism of pomegranates and palms, I've already said so many times, the veil between our realm here and the afterlife, or our world, tangible world here, and what we cannot see, between the spiritual realm and our current realm. There's that line that divides, that is blurred in a sense, and she is very comfortable there. That's just where she exists in that balance there. And so pomegranates are associated with Persephone and Hades and the underworld. They represent death. They represent afterlife. And the palms are tied to the Egyptian goddess of Hathor, who she feeds the descended from the tree and represents the vital fluids of life. So you have on the veil that separates the great unknown and the high priestess is life and death as well, right? It was the same thing that we see with the pillars next to her. Again, that balance. Now, if you look at her hands, you see she's holding a scroll. The scroll, this is really widely debated. Some people are trying to, a lot of people have tried to figure out what is written on the scroll. And some, you see it, you definitely see a T-O-R and what looks like an A. So people, you know, that could be the Hebrew Torah. It could be the letters jumbled and could be Tarot. But think of the high priestess holding the scroll is so connected to her just having, you know, physical, being able to take all of this abstract and all of the watery energy here and make it concrete, put it into, make it productive. There, the fact that you have that physical scroll is really important because it leads you to that next step. But you also see these same four letters are represented in the Wheel of Fortune, which is a card later on in the Major Arcana. And it's just, it's very connected to the rest of the Major Arcana cards in that sense. Okay. So that's our deep dive into the Rider-Waite-Smith symbolism. There's a lot that you can take here. I think the most significant thing for me when I think of the symbolism in the High Priestess is the watery aspect of it, the fact that she's so comfortable and that she is, her clothing is made of water. It's just, the symbolism there just makes me so happy. She is emotion. She is intuition. And though there is this mysterious aspect of the great unknown that is veiled behind her, she exists there so peacefully. There's incredible empowerment that sits there. So I had to go rock my kiddo back down. But let's talk about how you would interpret the High Priestess if, say, you're just doing a single card throw and you get the High Priestess and it's your general reading for today. It's a great way to get to know a tarot deck if you are just starting, is to throw a card in the morning that and asks the simple question, what message do I need to receive today? Or what do I need to focus on today? Whatever additional guidance you feel could be helpful, it's a great way to reflect. It's also a great way to connect deeper with your intuition within your and with your spirituality and to just get to know tarot, which I always think is a wonderful tool. The first thing that comes to me, up to mind for me is your intuition. If you throw the High Priestess and you're asking, what should my focus be today? Or even if you're just asking for confirmation, am I headed in the right direction? You know, anything like that. This is a major yes card. You are headed in the right direction. Trust your intuition. Trust your gut. There is power there. Think of her comfort within the water being her cloak. She's that comfortable in her emotions. She's that comfortable. Like it's as if her intuition and her spirituality is her skin. She's so comfortable there. And it's really powerful to recognize that comfort and to trust it. So if you're looking for that confirmation, it is a major yes card, and that you are headed in the right direction, and to stop worrying, stop questioning it so much. Okay, I'm back again. This is why it's good we're not doing this live. This is so much easier. All right, so before I go into the other ways that you can interpret the High Priestess, I just want to mention, whatever visually pops out at you, run with that. If the pillars stand out, then we're talking about balance. If her robe in the water stands out, we're talking about your emotions and your intuition. If the moon and her crown stand out, then that's all about all about cycles and about the rhythms and the patterns that you can see in your life, right? So if these, depending on what is really jumping out at you, if the veil stands out for you, it's what's dividing you. It's what's separating you from maybe from your emotions, from the ocean behind you. Are you really like taking advantage of the great unknown, or is that something that's nerve-wracking? Is that some, or are you worried about the influence of tradition, or is there a struggle there between freedom and tradition in that sense? Like, those are all, this is a very fast breakdown of everything, but whatever is visually standing out to you in the card when you throw it, run with that particular part of it. You can always look at the whole picture and take into consideration the overall reading of the High Priestess, but it's important to also follow your own intuition. If we're going to follow the advice of the High Priestess, when you're getting to know Tarot, the whole point is you're building that relationship with your inner voice, with your own connection to spirituality, and make sure that you're paying attention to what specifically jumps out to you in that moment, which it could be different every time. It should be if you're asking different questions. But yeah, the connection to your intuition is a big one. Another way that you can interpret the High Priestess is about cycles. It's about balance and the rhythms that you have in your life. So a question that you can ask yourself if you're doing just a general reading for your day and it's a single card throw is, how am I creating balance in my life? Or what cycles and patterns do I recognize? Do I like these patterns? Do I want to support them? Or do I need to implement more change? Do I need to shake things up a little bit and break some cycles here? It can also be a specific call to your cycle as a woman, if you are a woman throwing this. Or your cycle as a man. You don't have a monthly cycle as a man, but you do operate on a 24-hour solar cycle. And what patterns do you represent there? Do you need to shake up your daily routine? Are there parts of your routine that need to be more highly focused on? How can you ritualize? Think about, there's so much tradition and history represented in this card. How can you ritualize your routine and make it special in that sense, or make it unique to you specifically? And so I think these are all really great things that can come up when we are talking about the High Priestess energy. If you throw the High Priestess reverse, and if you are, some people read reverse, some people don't. I like to read reverse because I think it really adds, you know, that darker, more challenging side to a card. It can mean you're neglecting your intuition. It can mean that maybe you haven't followed your intuition and then you're reaping the consequences of that. It can mean there may be deception, a lack of honesty. It can also mean that there's like an abuse of power going on. Think of the way that those pillars within religion are so respected. There can be something that is awry there. There can be something that's being taken advantage of in that sense. So those are all, that's all the energy that can come up when you are throwing it reverse. Let's take a look at some, I love doing this part of it. These are some modern representations of the High Priestess, and let's just start with the one all the way on the right. I believe this is from a modern witch tarot, and I love this deck. But look, she's got the, it's a dark blue robe, she's got the moon in her feet, but she's got her heels on and a laptop. I mean, that's awesome. There's still the veil and the pillars behind her and the same crown. It's all very similar in that sense, but I love, you know, in the name Modern Witch Tarot, that's very accurate. It is a modern representation of the High Priestess. If you look at the card in the center, and I don't remember off the top of my head which deck that's from, but I'll link it in the description. You have the two pillars on the side. You have some, what looks like either an archway that's looking maybe out over water possibly, or it could be a veil. It's a little unclear, but you have what looks like a main woman and then either two women standing behind her, but they all look like they're of the same woman. Which to me, what immediately comes to mind with this is, how are you, you know, you have the balance of, it kind of reminds me of the devil and the angel on your shoulder, but also of your inner voice. The way that you have debates internally, the way you, if they look like they're very much at peace, there doesn't seem to be any conflict between these three representations of this woman. How can you live in harmony there and have that communication with your inner voice and your inner wisdom? You have the crescent moon above, still with that lunar cycle. And the lunar there, and looks almost like there's, it looks kind of like rippled waves on her cloak that could be connected to water as well. Yeah, I'd be so interested actually to read the description, because each individual unique tarot deck has their own book of to describe what the meaning is, and I noticed that it is different depending on the artwork, so it would be interesting to read that book there. And then let's look at the one all the way to the left. I don't remember which deck this is from. The first thing that's standing out to me is what she's wearing. It very much blends with, the background. And there's some, that wispy thing could either be smoke or water. I like the, kind of the mystery there, because again, that ties into the mystery within the what's not tangible, what you can't see, the mystery that sits within water. And it almost looks like she's in the veil. Her dress is of the veil. You see her hand holding up the veil, and you can see looks like stars behind her. You have two pillars that she's almost sitting on. This is really abstract. I really like this, actually. I didn't look too deeply at this before I picked it. And they look like they're identical pillars, but they have black and white represented in each pillar. So you have that balance there and that reference to the black and white BJ pillars. And it looks like she doesn't have... There's a crescent moon on the top of her head. It doesn't really look like a crown. Yeah, I love the difference here and the different representation. And again, each artist and author's interpretation is so, you carry that energy when you're working with a new deck. I love that you do. And I also just wanted to mention, I do have, let me see how long it takes me to find this. This is one of my favorite Oracle decks, because you do find a lot of tarot cards represented in Oracle decks as well, and this is a partially inspired you'll find a lot of the major arcana in this deck as well. The minor arcana is really different, but you do find a lot of similarities. Here you go. And so the high, that didn't take too long, thank you for waiting, the High Priestess in this deck, let's see if it's light enough for you to see it. The High Priestess, and this is the Wisdom of Avalon deck, is surrounded by, she almost reminds me of an alchemist in this. She has a raven in front of her. She has a bowl. It looks like she's in the middle of creating some sort of potion or medicine, possibly. And you have a bunch of herbs and everything around her. But if you look, there's also that arch with the moon in the background, right? So you do have, sorry, let me see if I can get that in focus. No. There you go. You do have a lot of that same symbolism, even though there's an added, there's a lot of added character here, and in this deck, it really is connected to mastering your skills. It's about, but also prophecy, trusting your intuition, having that vision. I'm looking more closely. She has a crescent moon on her forehead. The connections here are really incredible, and so you can see a lot of those similarities. And this is an Oracle deck where you have a High Priestess card, but there's a lot of Oracle decks also that have cards that just kind of feel like the High Priestess or a specific Major Arcana card, and you can kind of get to know what that feels like too as you go. All right, Well, that was our deep dive into the High Priestess. For those of you who saw the other live stream a few weeks ago, I'm sorry if it was a bit repetitive. But I really wanted to take my time and talk about the history and talk about the beautiful symbolism. It's one of my favorite major arcana decks. I feel really inspired by the High Priestess. I feel like she's an energy I'm really trying to embody and strive for a lot of the time. I feel like if I'm feeling empowered and like I'm on track, then I feel like I'm really in my High Priestess energy. And it's just a wonderful visual with all the different visual representations and art that we just looked at, for me to lock in and have that as my reminder or my goal. It's just a really incredible energy to maintain. But without further ado, let's jump into a really quick general reading for you all. So whether you are watching this live or you are listening at watching or listening at another time, this again, I'm going to be using my Wisdom of Avalon deck here. This reading is for you, and I'm just asking, what message do you need to hear? What information would be most useful right now? Okay, so we have focus, which I threw reversed. Fear. And it's a little dark, sorry. Do a few more. Birth, rebirth. Alright, so it does seem like there's a cycle that's ending here that you may be resisting. Yeah. And I had loyalty, or the dog reversed. I just want a little more. Okay, and partnership reversed. So it seems like you may be feeling alone right now as you look. It's almost like you're staring this transition in the face and you're feeling alone. But you're also wondering if you are supposed to be loyal to certain people, to the people that you may be leaving behind, to maybe even a certain, couldn't be people. It may not be people. It could be a lifestyle you're leaving behind. Whatever you are about to put into the rear view mirror in this transition, in this new stage of life, if I feel you clinging to it in a sense, and that fear is understandable. This feels like a significant change, and it also feels pretty sudden. This doesn't feel like something that you've been anticipating. It feels like a abrupt change. But what's clear here that I'm picking up on is it's okay. This change is happening. Whenever you get this, whenever you get birth rebirth, it is a beautiful, there is one path on this card. It is a new beginning and you are on the right track. It's a wonderful confirmation card. And I hope that you're able to give yourself some grace through this change. It's clear that this is abrupt and, it's abrupt, it's all of a sudden, and the people or the things that you're worried about leaving behind, it's clear they're going to be alright, and they're not disappearing. Yeah. And it's okay to ask for help. The cow is all about asking for help, it's about abundance, but it's about leaning on each other. It's really about making sure that you aren't making yourself alone. You're not putting yourself in this isolated position so that you can actually not feel alone in this process. The fact that, partnership reversed is really coming up in my mind, that you're feeling alone right now. But you don't have to be. All right. And I'm back again. But just to finish up that general reading for you guys, it's okay to struggle through this transition, but know that it's a good transition. This doesn't feel like this is sending you on the wrong path. You're going to be all right. Just give yourself grace through this process and lean on the people around you, because you're not leaving them behind. It's just changing, and that's okay. I appreciate you all being here with me today. I will make sure to be back with you all next week with another pre-recorded video where we jump into the next major arcana card, which is the Empress. And I'll be able to give you guys live readings if you'd like in the chat, as well as give a general reading as well. In the meantime, you can find me over at onetolisten.com, where I am an intuitive advisor, and you can find me 24/7. If I'm not available, schedule a call or send in a callback request, and I'll get it notified immediately and know that you're waiting, and I'll jump online as soon as I can, and we'll be ready to connect with you. Thank you so much for joining me here today, and go ahead and check out 12radio.com, where we have a bunch of archives of incredible shows, whether you want to talk about spirituality, if you want to talk about lifestyle changes, if you are interested in conversations around astrology or around religion. There's wonderful, or enhancing your intuition. There's incredible content waiting for you over there. So go ahead and check it out at 12radio.com and check out our on-demand section. That's where you can find all our archives of old radio shows. And I just want to thank you guys for being here today. So enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you next time.